Hello, everyone, and welcome to New Consciousness, New World. I have a wonderful program for you guys today. It'll follow a little bit based on the what we discussed in the last show 2 weeks ago. And basically, it had to do with UFOs, ETs, and Dr. Greer, and all of these other witnesses that were present at the citizens' hearing, We the People, in Washington, D.C., on April 29th through 3rd of May. And basically, I wanted to welcome you back, first of all, and second of all, point out that if you go to my website, researchcia.com, so you can actually go under the community and under community, the newsletter, and you can read the full article, including some pictures on the actual hearing. What I discussed with you in the last show was probably about 2 or 3 pages. Well, it turned out that that article ended up being 11 pages long. So I included more information on the witnesses. I actually provided their nationalities and a little bit more about their bio and their story. So feel free to go on there and learn a little bit more. And specifically, I also wrote down the conversation as to the best of my recollection, basically, in regards to what Dr. Greer was responding to an interviewer from one of the witnesses. And so I wanted to touch basically on this because it has to do a lot with our program, and also it has to do with our purpose, which is developing a higher consciousness, developing a greater awareness. And part of the reason we are doing this work, Dr. Greer has his work, obviously, which is the Disclosure Project, and his focus is directed towards developing awareness and disclosing information by the different governments worldwide, specifically though in the United States in our case. And they do meet with the United Nations as well as here in DC. And through these congressional meetings, they're able to impact the legislation, and not only that, but impact members of our government and even the president himself to help open up these closed black ops projects, and hopefully to provide the information to the rest of us that are not as knowledgeable. What I also want to do in this show is explain as to the reason why it's so important. What are the specific benefits? And one of the main reasons why I do the work that I do. Dr. Greer is more focused on the technology and the UFOs and all of that. My part of the work is more oriented a little towards the spiritual aspect. Now, that's not to say that all these other people are not spiritual people as well. As a matter of fact, I'm currently reading one of Dr. Greer's books, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, which does deal with a lot of, it talks about his biography, which is pretty impressive, of course. But it also goes into a lot of more detail in the book about his background and his experiences. He's a little bit more blunt about and provides more names on people that he has as collaborators and people he's had to who he has the opportunity to have met with, and also to try to bring and how he's impacting the different organizations within the government to bring in more information on these covert operations that are so so seriously being covered up. And in that, from that perspective, I would like to later move on into the spiritual aspect that's related to the work that I do and why it's so important to actually, they're very much interrelated. But it's important to understand that we need to be consciously aware. We need to develop our abilities. And he goes into this in his book. He has several books, but this one is the one that I'm currently reading, and it's definitely very, very interesting. I had a lot of bits and pieces. Excuse me. However, he's put a lot of this into perspective, not to mention that it helped me to understand that my life is being orchestrated by higher intelligence. That does not mean that I don't have control over my life. I actually do. But I freely and willingly surrendered my will with the intent of doing or reaching my ultimate purpose, which is to do the higher will, which is in alignment with our divine essence of who we are. So it was a wonderful privilege to attend the citizens' hearing, and specifically was held at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. And I wanted to basically touch a little bit on some of the information. I got more information on the witnesses and their backgrounds. For example, Dr. Greer points out, we can say with absolute certainty that it's not a monkey. In other words, the documentary that he was presenting, which is called Sirius, and is online for those of you who want to see it. It is not free because the purpose of this is to raise money and continue to promote the work that the Disclosure Project is doing. So it's not free. However, it is $9.99, which is cheaper than a lot of videos you see out there. And it's probably one of the most powerful movies I have seen in a very long time. I mean, I've also seen the movie Thrive. This is comparable. Thrive, I consider, is comparable to Avatar, except Avatar is a science fiction, supposedly. But these documentaries are actually factual information, so it's important that we understand that. And he says we definitely cannot, they cannot outright say it is an extraterrestrial being. It's definitely an alien because it's not identified. But it's certainly this being that Dr. Greer has had analyzed through three different laboratories that are not related. Basically, the results were the same. So that they're saying it's not a monkey, it's not a human, that it's more human than chimpanzee. It lived to the age of 6 to 8 years of age. It breathes, it eats, it metabolizes. It calls into question how big the thing might have been when it was born. It also brings into question the origins of humanity. The DNA tells the story that we have the computational techniques that allow us to determine in very short order, in fact, that being, this small being, which is, again, 6 inches or 8 inches tall, is 91% human. The other 9% is not identifiable, at least not yet. It could be contaminants, it can be malformations, whatever, but the other 9% is not human. So he belongs to the labs. The DNA test was performed specifically in one of the labs, was performed by Dr. Nolan, and Dr. Nolan appears in the film discussing this. So this small creature, which they nicknamed Atta, was discovered in Chile, the Atacama Desert, 10 years ago, and has literally gone through different hands and ownership since then until it ended up in Spain. The film also explores an ongoing movement to get the USA government to reveal what is reportedly known as the UFOs, extraterrestrials, and the availability of advanced alternative energies, technologies that could greatly benefit everyone on Earth. Now, the reason for this documentary, obviously, is to get the word out to people, not just to the governments, obviously, because Dr. Greer has been working with that for a very long time, but also to the public as a whole, because we are the ones that have the least information of all. There are different components of the government that don't have as much information, but they know things are happening. There's other groups in the government or in even in the, or their organizations that do know quite a bit, but they're not allowed to share it openly. And the goal here that the Disclosure Project is precisely to disclose. The primary force behind Sirius is Dr. Stephen Greer, a former director of Hospital Emergency Room who founded the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which is CSETI. Okay, again, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And the Disclosure Project, of course. Sirius referred to the paradigm shift physical of evidence and medical and scientific analyzed DNA sequences, which are basically have the same sequence as humanoid creature of a known classification. One of the leading theories going into the DNA testing was that Atta may have been an unborn deformed fetus, but when that turned out to be incorrect, the conclusions, which was basically what the conclusion of this investigation was, this was not a definitely not a fetus, and so it opens up the possibility, although of course the scientific community is not willing to admit that it is an alien, but it opens the question of what is this being? Now, the other interesting thing is that this being has been sighted, live beings, in Chile's Atacama Desert. Atacama is the desert name, and it's in Chile. So other beings have been seen there that are actually live, and they have this shield around them of energy, and they move in and out of our physical space-time. So obviously they're multidimensional beings, and that is why the conclusion is that they are extraterrestrial beings. But again, scientifically, we cannot say that. At least that's what Dr. Greer was pointing out. The interesting thing, too, is after having watched the movie, which was very, very interesting and had a lot of other testimonials, astronauts, high-level government, military, intelligence personnel, and all kinds of testimonials from these people. Well, if you thought that was powerful, when I started reading the book, I have to say the movie has probably 20% only of what the facts truly are. It, what it does have, though, that's extremely powerful, is the DNA proof, the physical proof that there are beings there. However, in his book, Dr. Greer tells you the other 80%, and trust me, it will. If you thought this movie blows your mind, if you were to watch it, then I can honestly guarantee you that the book is going to blow your mind even more, because I'm familiar with a lot of this information, and it blew my mind. And not many things blow my mind, trust me on that. So, also, the interesting thing in trying to collaborate this, the witness from China, Dr. Sun Shili, brought with him three jaded figures. And each figure is different, representing other races of ETs out of many more. And now this is knowledge that actually most people in China already know. As a matter of fact, Dr. Shili actually went as far to say that in China, they believe that they're of the dragon family. And not only that, but they have their race has come literally from the heavens, is their understanding. So to them, the concept of extraterrestrial beings is not as extreme as it might be to most of us who have not been exposed to this kind of information or this kind of belief. And their experience or knowledge of extraterrestrials dates back over hundreds of years. So that just goes to tell you, it was basically when China was at its most powerful and most developed, and it was the greatest power at the time. And since then, they already had this concept. Again, this is hundreds and hundreds of years. So it makes you wonder how far behind we are. The interesting thing about the figures that Dr. Sun Shili from China brought up is that one of the figures actually has some level of resemblance to the little creature that Dr. Greer had the DNA testing done on. His head is very much similar. Of course, the statues of these creatures made out of jade are actually in a sitting position. So it's very difficult to tell how similar this creature is to the creature Ata that was discovered in Chile. But like I said, the skull, the structure of the skull is almost identical. It's just made out of different material. And basically, my understanding is there are possibly 700 different races of ETs. These are just three examples that, like I said, the Chinese witness brought into this meeting. And so you can find also on the website, an image of those three little statues. And, of course, you can find an image of Ata, the little creature. It was interesting also, one of the other statements, and I did say this last time on the show, so it was very interesting that Dr. Greer quoted CEO from Lockheed Martin, Ben Rich, former head of Lockheed Skunk Works. He comments that, the comments basically states that in the 14th of August of 2008, specifically, they have information pertaining to the advanced propulsion space travel. And he states, we did the F-104, the C-130, the U-2, the CR-71, the F-170, the 117. Some of these are planes, by the way, but some of them I'm not 100% sure. And many other programs that I can't talk about. We still work very hard. I just can't tell you what we're doing. The Air Force has just given us a contract to take ET back home. Now, he said that in 2008 at a presentation he's doing. But this actual statement, the Air Force has just given us a contract to take ET back home, was actually presented in a presentation in 1993 at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Okay, when he was doing a presentation there, a slide presentation, he said that we'd just been given by the Air Force a contract to take ET back home. That means that already in 1993, the technology to be able to take ET home was being developed. That means that today we already have that technology. Okay? But the main public does not know anything about this. So we are really have the ability to travel through space, not like we do on the shuttle. And that may be one of the reasons why the shuttle program was to a degree shut down, because when you have a more advanced system of travel, why would you want the primitive version of it? Now, Lockheed Martin, SAIC, Northrop and Grumman, Raytheon, and several other top engineering companies are, coincidence of coincidence, I inserted that in there, all involved in the black ops programs related to UFOs and ETs, and also relating to propulsion techniques and free energy. Okay? So that just gives you an understanding. But the most interesting part for me on a personal level was the fact that I was told by Spirit that I would need to study computer science, which I did, and that I would have classified jobs and that I would have certain jobs like this, this, and this, and this, and I would be doing classified work and so on. While I did not have access to the black ops programs, I did actually work with clearance, TS, clearance, top secret. And I did work, and my first clearance was actually with SAIC, who was one of the companies that hired me. Later on, I worked for Booz Allen and Hamilton, and later on for Raytheon. But I worked with also Lockheed Martin, not for them, but as a subcontractor for SAIC and Raytheon. I worked with Lockheed Martin and Northrop and Grumman and General Dynamics and several of those other companies. So interesting that these companies are involved in these things and that I was told that I needed to do this so that I could have this kind of access and this kind of knowledge. And that happened to be as it was. Now, while I did energy work, I did not participate in the black ops. So that's important to point out. But definitely, I have to say that it was a very interesting work. And probably the most interesting was the F-35, the Joint Strike Fighter program that I worked on. Again, not black ops, but so this is what the this has already been done. This is what the chief of operations also states more directly. We already have the means to travel among the stars, but these techniques are locked up in black projects and would take an act of, in large letters, God, to ever get them out to benefit humanity. This was made in a statement before the CLA at a presentation at UCLA to three disclosure project witnesses, okay? So it's no wonder that this minimal desire to invest in technologies that in great part would be free is not of interest to a lot of companies because they have so much invested. I mean, think about the petroleum, the gas companies, the electric companies. If you have free energy, guess what? You're not going to be paying. And if you're not paying, these people don't get their money. And if they don't get their money, they're not happy campers. Granted, this money could be applied in so many more effective alternatives for humanity, no question about that. But wait, but then the fossil fuels again would become obsolete and we would have no need for them. All right. So I'm going to move a little fast on this because, like I said, it's 11 pages and we only have 1 hour. So let's try to focus. And, of course, there were witnesses there who talked about Roswell, New Mexico. On Wednesday, there were witnesses discussing the Roswell incident in New Mexico several years ago. Now, I was not present in these presentations. However, it was also mentioned in the days that followed, so that's how I got some of my information. The witnesses concurred about the finding in Roswell, which they repeated before the members of Congress and one senator there. There was a UFO or a spaceship that crashed in Roswell, New Mexico. Recovered in this crash was the spaceship, two bodies, and a live alien. Yes, a live alien. Now, this alien died shortly after, whether it was because of an injury or because of the environment or because he was killed or dissected or whatever. But the live being lasted only 1 week. Now, there were numerous witnesses to this, and Dr. Greer is the witness with testimonies to this effect. He knows a lot about all this, and not only that, but he has witnesses that would be coming forward if the need presents itself to provide this information. However, there was another witness there also. And then we go to South America. There was a total of about six representatives or witnesses to South America. The countries represented there, even though there's more than just those countries, were Brazil, Uruguay, Chile, Peru, and Argentina. The witness from these countries were Gevards, Sanchez, Hunes, Choi, and Santa Maria, and Chinote, respectively. So these were the basic, and I'm going to talk a little bit about each one of these representatives. A.G. Guevara studied chemistry in several universities in Brazil. He has been devoted investigator of UFOs and ETs related phenomena since the age of 14 and started lecturing about the UFOs in 1978 and so on. So these people have credentials up the wazoo on this kind of information. And he was the one that he was basically one of the few that had witnesses there or who was witnessing how one of the spaceships was actually a hostile spaceship and actually with a beam attacked several of the observers. And he talks about that, which was a little bit appalling. Now, I will say this. According to Dr. Greer's testimony, there are not two types of aliens. There's only one kind of alien, and they are not hostile. And that's what his work is intended, because the Black Ops projects tend to prefer to present these extraterrestrials as hostile beings. And part of that is to create a fear factor, so that we are against and we would support military intervention against these beings. So given the fact that they have the technology to take ET home, they also have the technology to generate, believe it or not, to clone beings that look somewhat non-human. And that's where the grays come in. And yes, it is those type of spaceships and those type of human-made alien ships, because they do have that capacity. Again, I'll repeat that because I want you to really, really understand and absorb that concept. It took me a little bit to absorb it myself. So these grays that are actually controlled and developed and these UFOs are hostile because they want to create fear in the people so that the people don't want to know because they're afraid. And the most interesting part in the book, I would recommend it very highly, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge by says Stephen M. Greer, M.D. And the interesting thing, it actually goes in much more detail and he gives facts and testimonials and scientific proof that these things are happening. I mean, he has witnesses, like I said, up the wazoo that have actually told him what was going on. And that's how he knows a lot of these facts, that these black ops projects are trying to motivate the people, because in order to attack something, you have to make them your enemy. And we see that in the movie Avatar. You know, a lot of these movies, believe it or not, have a lot of information as well as of quite a bit of disinformation. So the movie Avatar had a lot of facts, but at the same time, again, in this movie, I really liked it because the fact that the extraterrestrials are actually the good guys and we come into their planet and we try to take over. Well, this is the basic concept. This is the basic strategy to in creating enemies or trying to go to war with enemies. You have to make them come across as the enemy, because then the people would stand up like we did with the Vietnam War and get pissed that the young people are being sent to war and that we're spending all this kind of money when we're in a bad crisis. So if you take all these things into account, there is a lot of reasons why this information would be kept from us. And so he goes into great detail in explaining how the chupacabras that have been reported where they slaughter animals are man-made spaceships, not regular planes, but actual spaceships, because again, we have that capacity, we have the ability. And then there's also what they call the abductions are also done by the grays and by these people that want to, again, inflict that kind of fear into people so that people are in favor. And interestingly enough, Dr. Greer discusses in his book, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, how a lot of the higher-ups in the government and even the foreign countries have been abducted to make them feel fearful and to invest great deals of money and to be in favor of fighting these aggressive, violent extraterrestrials, because you would think beings that are so highly evolved, more than us humans, you would think that, yeah, they are still in the, I mean, think about a lot of the movies we've been seeing, with a few exceptions, all right? They all represent the aliens as vicious monsters that basically you can't even rationalize or talk or anyway communicate or reason with them. They're like basic animals. How can an animal so wild, so ignorant, and so ferocious have any kind of technology that transcends space-time and can be multidimensional without, you know, and with specific propulsion systems that are far beyond anything on Earth? So there, I mean, Dr. Greer, with all the sightings he's done, is able to distinguish between one type of technology versus the man-made advanced technology. And again, you ask the question, why would somebody want to keep us in the dark? Well, because as long as we're in the dark, we're easily to control. We don't know about this information, so we're easy to control, basically. And it's intended for other purposes. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons. I won't go into all of it because otherwise I won't have enough time to continue to go further. So there was also Dr. Choi, who had Dr. Antonia Choi is a lawyer, writer, research journalist, conference speaker, and radio producer. He is the main researcher of the Air Anomalous Phenomenon Investigation Office, OIFAA, of the Air Force of Peru, and responsible for the investigation of the Chulacanas incident, where a giant sphere of light were flying over quietly in an intelligent manner about 2.5 hours and then landed on the outskirts of the city. And this was all recorded on video. So turning this into the first revealed official research of UFOs in Peru, which Dr. Choi has been the main national and international speaker. Okay. Now, this one is Colonel Oscar Santamaria. I guess the point I'm trying to get across to you is that these people are very intelligent, very intellectual. They are in the scientific arena, but they're also in other fields as well. And all of these people are sharing and witnessing to these facts, either first hand or third hand, you know. But they are coming forward and they are speaking. Colonel Oscar Santamaria, former Peruvian Air Force, as fighter pilot for 25 years. And, I mean, if you look at his record, which I have more details in, like I said, on my webpage, I mean, he has also an impeccable, you know, knowledge and experience. But the interesting thing about his story is he shared a specific scenario where he was actually, you know, following orders from his commanders when a spaceship comes and is flying over the space of the where Colonel Santamaria is. This UFO appears on their base, invading the airspace. And so obviously he was ordered to, you know, go up in an airplane and try to bring the UFO down and definitely make sure that the UFO didn't attack. Now, again, I want you to remember what I said about the fact that these beings are presented hostile and very monstrous-like and, you know, not rational or intelligent in most cases. But listen to what happens in this situation. Colonel Santa Maria followed the UFO for a period of 20 minutes until he ran out of fuel. he fired a total of 64 rounds, 30 millimeters of ammunition during this time. The flying object followed an unpredictable path, taking off and pausing to face the fighter pilot on occasion. The object observed the ammunition fired, yet never fired back. And he basically, the ship just absorbed the ammunition. Nothing was damaged. And yet, you know, they never once, for such violent beings, they must have not, you know, realized that they were under attack, because they're obviously very ignorant, according to Hollywood. These are vicious people. They're vicious beings that have no common sense. So they didn't even, they must have not known they were under attack, because they, guess what, never fired anything back. Boy, definitely, definitely dangerous. And, you know, basically, once he ran out of fuel, Colonel Santa Maria returned to base. Shortly after, the flying object disappeared completely. Now, this is the interesting thing. In case Colonel Santa Maria failed, on the ground, 400 pilots were waiting in Santa Maria, to see the result from Santa Maria. If Santa Maria did not succeed and the spaceship retaliated in any way, shape, or form, they were required to defend the base from the UFO. Fortunately for all, that was not required. Interesting. And then we have Mr. Antonio Hunes, and he is a Chilean-American science journalist and international known researcher of extraterrestrial-related phenomena. When Lawrence S. Rockefeller commissioned Marie Galbraith and Sandra S. Wright to assemble a report on the best evidence of UFOs to send to members of Congress and select VIPs worldwide in the 90s, Hunes was one of the co-authors. He is leading authority on the topic that we address here. As a result of his experience, he has participated in several of the panels, and specifically on that day. And he's fluent in English and Spanish, so he was able to not only participate with with the witnesses for South America, but also with the American panelists. There are other testimonials that the different panelists provide. However, due to space time, you know, I'm kind of reducing this. But let's go now to the international. The following representatives are from several countries across the world, such as Italy, China, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, and South America. The panelists from these countries were Pinotti from Italy, Shili from China, Cameron from Canada, Poe from the UK, and Hunes was basically just there. And if you look at the picture that I have of these witnesses or panelists, they're actually in the order that I just mentioned. So starting from the right-hand side, they're all standing because they're asked to take an oath before the Congress in the hearing and provide their testimonial. So they're just about lowering their hands down, and they're ready to go on there and give their testimonies. The first one to speak was Robert Pinotti from Venice, Italy. In 1972, he receives a degree in political science, applied sociology at the University of Florence College of Political Science. And he has a whole bunch of other wonderful degrees and so on, but I won't go too much into that. The incredible thing about his testimony is he spoke about Russia, he spoke about other France, and he spoke about Spain, and he spoke about specifically Italy. Where the interesting thing about Pernotti's testimonial was that in just 1 year, he describes how 2,000 sightings took place in his home country of Italy. It is hard to ignore information like this. Pinotti also discussed the numerous paintings that exist in different locations throughout Italy, where UFOs are present in many churches, including the Vatican, and he showed samples of these frescoes. He also provided testimonials from Germany, Russia, and so on. So, I mean, you know, he was sharing very useful and very knowledgeable information and experience. Also present was, after him, the Chinese scientist Sun Shili, a retired foreign minister official, says that extraterrestrials live among humans here on planet Earth. Okay? He is actually saying this. Okay? I'm not making this up. Shili, who once witnessed a UFO and is now president of the Beijing UFO Research Society, is not alone in this assertion, okay? He is not the only one who says this. Other top Chinese scientists also believe that ETs and UFOs have a definite presence on the planet. Shili claims that research into UFOs could head to a new new technology such as high speed travel, clean and renewable energy, and faster growing crops. Mr. Shili is also of the belief, as many of his countrymen do for over 2,000 years, not several hundred, but several thousand years, that the Chinese are of the dragon race. They believe the Chinese came from the heavens, so the aliens from them is a knowledge, and encounters with UFOs and ETs are not so strange. Chinese evidence dates back to before the coming of Christ. Okay, that's a long time, people. Unlike many Western countries, China embraces the possibility of ET and UFO phenomena. China has about 50,000 members in its official registered UFO associations. You would think that they would have better things to do with their time, right? Because these people are not going to waste their free time. But some estimate there are millions of Chinese citizens who are interested in the subject. So much for that. Nick Pope worked, he's from England, and he worked in the United Kingdom. He works for the United Kingdom Ministry of Defense, and he's been there for 21 years. Again, the United Kingdom Ministry of Defense. His postings include being assigned to the Joint Operations Center during the Persian Gulf War, where he briefed the Air Force Operations Room. He also left the Ministry of Defense after his final post, in which he figured French science, defense, and intelligence. So Pope was posted to a division called Secretariat Air Staff, where his duties included researching and investigating UFO phenomena, mirroring the work done in America in the 1960s by United States Air Force Project Blue Book. These include cases where the witnesses were pilots, police officers, and a military person, cases where the UFOs had been tracked on radar, and cases where there had been near misses between the UFOs and civilian aircraft. Nick Pope also takes no position in the nature of the UFO phenomena, but can testify based on his governmental research and investigation that raises important defenses, national security, near safety issues. Within the British Commonwealth exists basically an agreement that allows everyone in the British Commonwealth to share UFO and ET information, including propulsion systems and energy and zero gravity capabilities. Now, based on Dr. Greer, he points out that these agreements really exist worldwide for all the organizations that do ET research and UFO research. They're able to share their information, and there's specific agreements to do so. Especially, for example, in the case of South America and the United States, there's specific agreements, and there was a specific incident in the border of Peru where the United States had the capability of shooting down one of these aircrafts, which is not an easy task. I'm willing to bet they use something much more powerful than the 64 rounds of 30 millimeters, but whatever it is, it was powerful enough to bring down one of those multidimensional ships, which sometimes they don't completely appear in our space, but they're half in between, so they're almost like transparent, and basically, because they're not completely materialized in our time space, and they're partially here and partially where they're coming from, and you can basically go through them. They can go through each other because it's like, a ghost walking through a wall. So it's very interesting that the capabilities these spaceships have, and you kind of wonder what kind of firepower you would need to bring something like that down. But then, nonetheless, they did. And in that specific incident, Peru took part of the ship and the United States brought the other part to the U.S. So this information, again, is not public knowledge. I also want to point out that in these other countries that are here, this is now, these things are disclosed with the exception of the U.S. All right. So that being said, Grant Cameron, representative from Canada, became involved in extraterrestrial related phenomena research in May 1975 with a personal sighting near Karma, Manitoba, about 25 miles north of the Canadian-U.S. border. Over the next 18 months, hundreds of sightings were reported, and Grant spent months photographing a series of strange objects and interviewing hundreds of witnesses who were involved. This is how thus begins a 28-year commitment to the subject. Cameron then turned his research interests into the relationships of U.S. presidents to the extraterrestrial issue. He made 13 trips to the U.S. National Archives and most of the present archives looking for relevant documents. A major contribution of his work was the FOIA submission of the White House Office of Science and Technology, which yielded nearly 1,000 pages of disclosure documents from the Clinton administration. And this was something that was provided at the time. Countries that have agreed to disclose their classified information are China, Russia, Germany, Italy, France, UK, Canada, Australia, Spain, and Europe. Now, Chile, Uruguay, Argentina, Peru, Brazil, Mexico, and Bolivia in South America. Most of the world, with the exception of the United States. So this is where we are, people. U.S. panelists. The panelists from the U.S. on technology were Greer, and Lear, and on disclosure, Halier, Bassett, and Dolan. Now, I'm just going to briefly talk a little bit about that because we are running out of time. So let's see. I'm going to actually jump to the Greer presentation because I think that was very interesting. Conversation with Dr. Greer and Dr. Choi. Now, I had the opportunity to actually translate this, and bear with me. I want to state up front that I'm doing this from memory. So while the wording may not be exact, the concept behind it is, to the best of my ability, as accurate as possible, going on from memory. So this is not, there's no real record of any of this except for what I have written and possibly for what Dr. Choi recorded in our conversation. And I had the privilege of translating for Dr. Greer to English and for Dr. Choi to Spanish. Friday was the last day for citizens hearing for We the People, and it proved to be a very exciting event for me. As a translator, I provided to these people. Friday was, there were no actual translators as there had been for the entire week. So I accidentally ran into Dr. Choi's wife and we started talking and she asked me to translate. And this is the conversation that took place. Choi to Greer. Is it true that the U.S. has a lab in the border between Peru and Bolivia and that this lab is outfitted with weapons intent weapons intent on shooting down flying objects? Greer, yes, it's true. The lab was designed with the intent of tracking UFOs, locking onto them, and shooting them down. They have the capability and have had it for some time. This provides more technology with the goal of reverse engineering. Choi, is it also true that Peruvian government is cooperating with the U.S. government on this issue? Greer, that is correct. The agreement at this level of research and intelligence exists between the two countries. In reality, at this level, it exists between all countries to share this information with each other. Choi, Dr. Greer, do you have any testimonials in writing and from actual witnesses have seen the bodies from Roswell as the recovery of the crash? Greer, I have thousands of testimonials and almost everything. Also, witnesses of people actually present as Roswell and that took part in the research on the Roswell case, as well as many other relating to the Black Ops projects. People that believe this information should be shared with the public. The lives of these people are in danger if they testify or are bound by their clearances to not share this information. One of the reasons for this hearing is to create awareness of what has happened. To ask for an official hearing where these witnesses can be subpoenaed and they can freely testify. Okay, let me clarify because I'm not sure that what I just said was very clear to you. Basically, he's saying that the purpose of these hearings is to provide witnesses, and not just that, but the goal is to actually get an official hearing because these are citizen hearings which don't have the same value as, you know, an actual hearing where witnesses are subpoenaed. And not only that, but these witnesses would then be able to have some kind of protection where, because they are subpoenaed, and they would also have to bypass the fact that they have clearances that they have to subject themselves to. The lives of these people are in danger. To ask for an official hearing where these witnesses can be subpoenaed and they can freely testify. Third, it is to obtain protection for these witnesses whose lives would be in danger if they shared the information they possess. And based on my knowledge and also stated in the book is there were numerous people killed, and he actually talks about who was killed and why. And interesting enough, in the book, he goes into the murder of not the suicide of Marilyn Monroe. So I leave that there for you to go and read the book. All right. Third, there were some of the requests made. These were some of the requests made at the hearing. Okay. Choi, it is rumored that a UFO was shot down and recovered by the U.S. who took the object back to their country. Greer, there was a spaceship that was shot down by the U.S. and they took half of the spaceship, with Peru taking the other half. Peru does not possess the technology capability to bring down a craft, so they helped each other out and worked together. Then they compared findings and all benefits from information obtained. I have briefed numerous high officials, including President Clinton. President Clinton, okay, we're running out of time here, so let me make this very quick, all right? And after this statement, I'll just stop. They have briefed numerous representatives, and you can find more information about this in his book, officials including President Clinton and Obama. They are aware of what is going on. Some of the presidents were in the loop of the cover-up, but not all of them. It depends if they are willing to play the game or not. We have the technology now to take ET home. We know that Obama has traveled to Mars. The air is breathable, and they have a lab there where research is being done. This information is not shared with the public. The excuse is that we would panic, that the American public would panic. However, the real panic is created by Hollywood, who is controlled by the controlling or world, uh, who you know, who the people who control our world today. Think about this. We were living one of the greatest moments of history right now in interspace travel, yet nothing printed and the media ignores the topic or addresses if, you know, if with when they address it, it's basically with ridicule. JF Kennedy was aware of this conspiracy and tried to do something about it. I have evidence that he was shot by a group of people, not one shooter. So I'll stop here, and you can read the rest of the article online, so feel free to do so, and you have much more detail, like I said, 11 pages, so enjoy. And I wanted to, you know, just mention to come back in 2 weeks, and we'll continue with the topic. We'll go into other things that I mentioned earlier, like the purpose of our show, which is a little bit more on the spiritual side, but all of this information is relevant, and all of this information, believe it or not, is related, and we'll get to the bottom of its relationship gradually. So have a wonderful, wonderful week. May God bless all of you, and please join us in our next show in 2 weeks.